We've spent the last 2 weeks having a look at this psalm, and we've been looking at the struggle that David was facing. We're not sure what it was, but whatever the struggle was that David was going through as he wrote this psalm, it must have been a pretty big struggle. And as we've seen, as we've looked at this psalm, that even though it seems sometimes to us that God is not present anymore, so verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? We are reminded of the history of the Bible and how God has never left those who follow him on their own, that he is always with them. And you remember our discussion there from verses 3 to 5, where David reflected on how God had rescued Israel at various times. We've also seen from verse 6 through to verse 11 that although it sometimes seems like people are mocking us and people are just laughing at us and things are not going really well, we are reminded, and David reminds us here, of how God has worked in his life. And so, even when it seems like we might be a worm and worth nothing, God is there with us and we should trust him. Of course, all the time we have equated this to what Jesus did for us on the cross and how Jesus felt that God had forsaken him on the cross and how Jesus felt that he was worthless and how people mocked him and insulted him. And I believe we are led to Psalm 22 to remind ourselves that God was with Jesus on the cross as God is with us as we go through difficult times. And so I want to have a look this morning at this next section, and it's a slightly longer section, but it goes from verse 12 through to verse 21. And I just really want to make two comments on this passage this morning. First comment, that when everything is against me, and the second comment, then the Lord will save me. So let's have a look at this, and in a moment we'll get stuck into that. But I think it's important at this point to make a distinction as to who David and to who this psalm is actually speaking to. This psalm is not just a general psalm written to everybody in the world. But remember that David followed the Lord Jesus. Remember, as Jesus hangs on the cross and quotes from this psalm, that he is not just some random person, but that he follows God. And so I want to say that this psalm is directed to Christians. It's not directed to non-Christians. And what I'm trying to say is that when we cry out as Christians, God is there and God will be there for us. As non-Christians, if we do not trust God, then I'm not sure that we can cry out these words and expect God to be there for us. Certainly for the Christian, this is very true, and we need to hang on to that. So let's get cracking, and let's have a look at the first comment that I want to make this morning, when everything is against me. This is really from verse 12 through to verse 18. Now, what the psalmist has done up to this point is he's mentioned, I think, really just two things that have taken place in his life that he's felt. One, he's felt that God was not there with him in the middle of his suffering, and that was verses 1 through to 5. Then he felt that people are laughing at him. So whatever he does, there's someone sniggering under their breath at him. There's someone mocking him. There's someone dissing him from a side. And he's mentioned those two things. But life is sometimes more than just people laughing at us and mocking us. Life is sometimes more than just the feeling that God is not present. And so what David goes on to write about now is really everything else. So look at verse 12 and look at some of the words that John is using here. He says, many bulls surround me. Look at verse 13. There's roaring lions who have opened their mouths against me. In verse 14, David says he feels like he's poured out like water. His bones are out of joint. His heart has turned to wax. His strength has dried up. That's starting to sound like maybe you or me. As we're facing life here, my strength has dried up. my bones are all weary and aching, and it feels like my bones are out of joint. He goes on, verse 16, dogs surround me. Evil men encircle me. Verse 17, people gloat and stare over me, and they divide my garments. I'm sure all of us at some stage in our life, and perhaps some of you here today, feeling like this now, that it just seems that everyone and everything is against us. And I think that's how Jesus felt when he was hanging on the cross. And why he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now in these verses, the psalmist is using some pictures. Okay, those of you who are artists amongst us here will know about pictures. And that often in a picture, you portray something that you're trying to get across. Last night, we were around at some friends of ours, and the daughter has done some great works of art for her matric finals, and I was reading, she had to do a whole massive long thing explaining why she painted what she painted. And it was really interesting to know why that painting that she painted was why she painted it, and how she did it, and what she was trying to mean as she painted it. And here we have David using some pictures. Here we have David using some animals to portray a picture of how he is feeling. And let's just quickly run through these animals. Now, he speaks here in verse 12 of a herd of bulls. Now, normally you don't have a herd of bulls. You'll have one bull with a herd of cows. But David says, it seems to me, what does he say here in verse 12? Many bulls surround me. Now, maybe some of you have been, should I say, fortunate enough to have watched Shaun the Sheep. It's a BBC kids program. It's a cartoon. It's based on the Wallace and Gromit stuff, if you've seen any of that. And there's an episode in Shaun the Sheep, Shaun the Sheep, it's just a fun little thing. It's a whole group of sheep that get up to nonsense on the farm. It's almost as if they're real, and they do all sorts of funny things. And in this particular episode, they are doing something, and something goes wrong, as it often does, and there's a hole in the fence, and a bull appears. Now, this is a real good bull. He's got massive horns. He's got a huge head and body. He's got this massive ring in his nose, and he's got these red eyes and these sort of flaring nostrils with smoke coming out of them. You know, the typical picture. And, of course, as the story progresses, everything that comes into the path of this bull is destroyed, is charged at. And in a way, is that not what David is feeling like here? A really angry bull. In fact, he says, not just one angry bull, which is enough to deal with on its own, but a whole group of angry bulls. And David says, his trouble that he is facing feels like he's got bulls coming at him from every angle and side, that no matter where he runs, he will be stabbed by the horns of this angry bull. And here's this picture that David is painting for us. But David says more than that. It's not just that I've got angry bulls charging down on me. David says, I've also got hungry lions hunting me down. Now think about lions. Perhaps some of you have watched some of those National Geographic or the BBC Earth programs of where a lion and a pride of lions attack a buck and how they kill it and eat it. And if you've watched any of those, you'll notice that there's often a lot of squabbles going on when they've got that buck lying down there. And there's one trying to grab here and one trying to grab there, and they're all trying to get their share of the meat. And at some points, sometimes one of the lions manages to grab a limb and to tears that limb off the animal and runs away to eat it in peace on his own. And that's the picture that David is trying to paint for us of the struggles that he's going through. It's like he's got this pride of lions descending on him. They're hungry. They're looking for something to eat. And they found him. And now they are pulling and tearing at him and tugging at him. No wonder he says that his joints or his bones feel out of joint. And can you see the picture that David is painting for him? This is the situation David finds himself in, whatever the struggle was. So he's got bulls bearing down on him. He's got lions attacking him. And then he goes on and gives us a third picture with the dogs. He's speaking here not about the tame pet variety that sleep on our beds and give us comfort when we need it. But he's speaking about the wild hunting, or the half-wild hunting packs that scavenge the rubbish dumps, that eat anything in their path. He's speaking about those sort of dogs. The type of dogs that when you see them coming, you clear out. And David says, I've got these bulls charging me down. I've got these lions with their mouths wide open trying to eat me. And I've got these dogs that won't leave a scrap of meat on anything coming after me. That's how David feels. He feels that everything in this life is coming at him. In fact, he even goes so far as to say that people gloat over him. And that people are saying, oh, cool, he's down. What can we take from him? And they're dividing his garments. It's almost like a free-for-all. That he's left stuff lying around. Oh, well, that's up for grabs. And they're all trying to capitalize on this poor man. Now, remember that in this section in Psalm 22, that David is in a really bad place. He feels that God has left him. He feels that people are mocking him and ridiculing him. And now he feels that the rest of the world is against him. Keep your finger in Psalm 22 and let's jump to that New Testament passage that was read for us in John 19. And it's back on page 180, I think it was, somewhere around there. John chapter 19, 1-4. And here we are now faced with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. His life, I suppose, in our terms, we would say, is hitting all-time low. Jesus is suffering. If you read the bit up to where Jesus is on the cross, you will realize that he's been whipped, he's been beaten. He's had a crown of thorns rammed onto his head. He's had to carry a cross that he couldn't pick up. He's exhausted. And people are gloating at him. People are dividing their clothes amongst him. He's at the stage where, and perhaps you've been there, where your mouth is so dry that your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. And he reminds us from Psalm 22 that he's in a bad place. He's thirsty, and perhaps he's recalling the words of Psalm 22. And so by saying I'm thirsty, by saying that they've divided my clothes, by saying that people are mocking me, he's also saying that his strength has dried up and that his heart has turned to wax. Now there are times in our lives that all of us feel from time to time that God has left us. There are times in our lives where it seems that people are laughing at us because of our stand for Jesus. But there are also times in our lives, as you and I have probably both experienced, where it seems that everyone and everything is against us. That everything we do seems to come back to bite us. No matter how hard we try, it seems that we are surrounded by angry bulls and roaring lions and a pack of dogs who are all set on bringing us down. And perhaps this morning you're in a place like that. Perhaps you are facing untold agony or hurt or battles with various things. And perhaps you are feeling that your strength is gone, that your heart is like wax, that you are no longer able to fight against these things. And sometimes it seems that we just can't go on anymore and that everything is against us. But as we've seen in the previous sections of the psalm, and you can turn back to Psalm 22, you will remember that when the psalmist feels down, he recalls to mind what God has done. And it is no different here. When he felt that God had forsaken him, he reminded himself of how God worked in the past. When it felt that man was just laughing at him and mocking him, he remembered how God had worked in his own life. And now when it feels that the whole world is against him, look what the psalmist says. And this is my second comment this morning. The Lord has saved me. You see, the psalmist is in a really bad place. So what does he do? Verse 19. He says, "But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs." David prays to God. David doesn't try and get through this in his own strength. He understands who God is. He understands that God is his strength. When he has no strength, he says, "O Lord, be not far off, O my strength." God is David's strength. And he prays to God about that. He understood that without God in his life, he would not be able to withstand the issues that life throws at us. He recognized that it is only through God that he will be able to have the strength to get through this trial. No wonder while Jesus was hanging on the cross, he's constantly referring to this psalm. He picks up all the, can we say, the negative elements of the psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? People mock me. People insult me. They divide my garments. They're all against me. But I think he's doing so to remind us of Psalm 22 and the fact that as he hung on the cross, God was with him. God was his strength. God gave him the ability to endure what he needed to go through. And I think we do well to reflect on this as we face our trials and our struggles, whatever they might be. Financial, health, family, friends, school, whatever it might be. You see, if you are a Christian, then we can pray to God our Father and we can remember, we can call on his strength. If you're not a Christian, well, who then can you turn to in your times of struggle and your trials? I wonder sometimes if our struggles and our trials would be easier to bear if, as Christians, we didn't try at first to solve them ourselves, but immediately came to the Lord in prayer and hand these things over to the Lord. We notice Jesus did that before he was even on the cross, praying to God, pleading with God. And God gave him the strength to endure. I'm not saying that as we pray these things that God will necessarily minimize the extent of our troubles. God doesn't do that. If he did that, he would have minimized Jesus' suffering on the cross. And we read clearly in the Gospels that he did not do that. Jesus suffered horribly. But what we learn from this is that God will give us strength through our hard times. This psalm reminds us to pray to God, reminds us to trust in God, reminds us to take our strength from him and not from people of this world. Notice also that the psalmist understood who it is that saves us. And so notice in the prayer words like, come quickly to help or deliver or rescue. And the psalmist recognizes that God is his salvation. Now again, I wonder if we recalled the saving nature of God earlier on in our struggles, if we would not be able to handle them better. Why is it then that when we face the trials and struggles that life throws at us, that Jesus and God the Father are the last people that we call on for help? Why is it that we would rather turn to people or to medicines or to financial advisors or to whoever it might be for salvation, and we don't turn to God? In the build-up to our next national elections, a matter of, well, about a month away, I'm amazed at all the political parties out there and how people respond to them. Many people in our country today are saying that if such and such a party were elected, our problems in this country would be solved. And while that might be partly true, our hope should not be in what political party is elected to power. Our hope should not be in who is the president of the country. Our hope should not be in whether this gets done or that gets done. Our hope should be in God himself. You see, if we are only hoping for this or that political party to resolve our issues, how short-sighted is that? Now, while some political parties might be better than others, and, well, that's a debate for itself, politics will not rescue us from the struggles that we face as a country. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you mustn't go and make your mark. That is important, and as Christians, I believe we must make our mark and vote for the party that we feel is going to do and honor God the most. But in a similar vein, we cannot base our hope on that. And so likewise, when we're in financial difficulties, we turn to our financial advisors and we put all our hope and trust in them that as they move our stock from this fund to that fund, from this resource to that resource, from this currency to that currency, that all our particular financial issues will be sorted out. But do we ever trust in God? Do we ever turn to God? As Jesus hung on the cross, he prayed for God to save him, to rescue him. And while God did answer that prayer in the long term, it took time. And Jesus wasn't pulled off the cross and saved from death. As we know, Jesus died. We read that this morning in John 19. And Jesus gave up his spirit. God doesn't always remove our trials from us. But in the midst of our trials, he is there with us. We might pray to God for deliverance from such and such a trial. And we might pray long and hard for it. Yet we don't seem to get an answer. Is God ignoring us? No, not at all. Sometimes God is going to answer that in a way that is different to the way we expect. Now, as Jesus hung on the cross, he was praying this prayer and asking his Father for help. Ultimately, God raised Jesus back to life and seated him next to him in heaven. Remember Jesus' prayer, "If it is your will, Father, remove this cup from me." But Jesus wanted to do what God wanted him to do, and so went through everything for God. Likewise, sometimes when we pray, we expect God to answer us in a certain way and to remove certain struggles in our lives. And when he doesn't, we shake our fists at God. Imagine if Jesus shook his fist at God while hanging on the cross. Yet sometimes it is God's will that we go through a particular event. And as we pray, God will be our strength. He will be our help. He will save us. But in His time and in His way. Now just one more comment here about verse 21 before we wrap things up. And David writes here in the NIV, he says, "Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen." Now, there is a little bit of a debate about the translation of that. And many feel that it could be taken in another way. And so other translations like the King James Version or the Authorized Version or the English Standard Version, even the Contemporary English Version, translate this verse and they say, "Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of wild oxen." In other words, not that God is going to do something, but that God has already done something for us. And I think that points us back to the cross again, where Jesus dying on the cross. You know why he was dying on the cross? Not just because God wanted him to, but because of our rejection of God. Jesus was taking our punishment on himself so that we don't have to face the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And Jesus took our place. Jesus took our suffering and our judgment upon himself so that we might have life with God forever and not, as it were, have to face endless trials and struggles right through our lives. Now, we can choose to ignore God if we want, and we can carry on without him. But just imagine the life, the struggles that you are facing at this point in time and how hard they are. Imagine them multiplied by, I don't know, let's use a figure of 1,000 times. So whatever struggle you're going through now is 1,000 times worse. And imagine that not just for a limited period of time, but forever. That's what it's like to reject what Jesus has done for you on the cross. We are going to face struggles and difficulties and trials separated from God, not just for a few months or for a couple of years, but forever if we choose to reject God. But if we accept him, the trials and the struggles in this life might get the better of us. We might feel like David did, that everyone is against us. But you know what? Even if we lose our lives through Jesus, we then get new lives, which won't have pain and struggle and suffering. So it's your call. You can choose whichever side of the fence you want to sit on. You either choose to ignore God, but then multiply your struggles by lots and have that forever. Or follow Christ. And while we might face struggles now for a few years, we will ultimately go to be with him. Because Jesus has saved us, or saved those who turn to him. Well, let's close in prayer. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for this great psalm that we've been working through over the last few weeks. And just the reminder that as tough as life is, life without you is going to be even worse. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that you are our strength, that you are there in the midst of all our difficulties and our struggles, that you are the God who saves us, who rescues us. You are the God who hears us and delivers us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to stand firm regardless of who's against us, whether it's been lots of bulls or lots of lions or lots of dogs or combinations of all of those. We pray that you would help us to stand true like you did as you hung on the cross. And we ask this in your name. Amen.